for the word. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're continuing with a teaching that we've been on for a few weeks. And it says in chapter 1, let's start reading at this time. Again at verse 3. We just got to go to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy... Oh, praise God. Father, I thank You right now for Your abundant mercy. I thank You for mercy, Your strengthening power straight from the throne of God. Has begotten us again. You've been born again, it says, unto a lively hope or a future, a destiny filled with the God kind of life. Amen. God wants you to live a God kind of life. You know, my assignment as a pastor is really not to get people saved. Some people are going to freak out over that. If people are here that aren't saved, I'm to get them saved. I'll preach the gospel. The Holy Ghost will unveil it to them and they'll say, I need Jesus. You know, we have people saved in here quite frequently. But my primary assignment is to teach people that are already saved. Else why would you come to church if you're already saved if you weren't learning something to advance? And my assignment is not just to keep you saved, but teach you how to operate in victory by the Word of God. To fulfill your calling and destiny on your life. Amen. To raise up sons and daughters in the Lord. To fill fivefold ministry positions and to fulfill world-changing secular positions. All by operating by the principles of the kingdom of God. Amen. And so here it says we are being raised up to a lively hope. A future. That hope means a destiny. A purpose or blueprint for your future that is full of the life of God. Amen. God didn't want us just hanging on. He never meant for us to just be getting by. The Word of God says we're supposed to be overcomers. That God always causes us to triumph. Amen. God wants us to win. Over what? Over every situation the world has to present to us. Over every challenge the devil would throw our way. Over every mountain or blocking point that would stand between us and fulfilling our calling, the calling on our lives. And we all have a calling on our life. And believe me, it's great. God has no small callings. Amen. Unto a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. God's got an inheritance for you. One of the formulas I've worked out, I spent quite a bit of time on today. I can't present it tonight. But it's on the rewards you'll see in heaven based on the formulas, spiritual formulas for work today. See, there's natural formulas that dictate motion and action in this natural realm. And I believe they have spiritual implications because God created this natural realm out of the spirit realm. Amen. And He will reward us for our works. You are not saved by works, but you are rewarded for your works. Amen. So we're going to take the natural formulas about work. Should we get far enough Saturday? And apply them to the works we do for God by faith in this life. And we're going to find out how powerful your faith is to see what God's going to give you when you get to heaven. Amen. Unto a lively hope, to an inheritance reserved in heaven. When we get to heaven, there's going to be rewards. But God doesn't want you waiting to get to heaven to experience that reward. He wants you to experience it now. By faith, you can make withdrawals out of your heavenly accounts now. When you bring forth your offerings to God, when you do service unto God, God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And it says in the Gospels also, Jesus said that whatever you sow, whether it's mothers, father, brother, sister, whatever you give up, lands, houses for my sake in the Gospels, he shall receive a hundredfold. Now in this lifetime, he says, and in the world to come. God says you can make withdrawals now out of your heavenly accounts. Amen. You've sown into the kingdom of God. Now expect to be able to receive out of that same kingdom. Amen. Finances, blessings, strength, assistance, whatever you've put seed in the ground for. It says, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. I tell you what, He's going to open the windows of heaven in these last times and show us His rewarding power. He's got plans to unveil His blessing system in these last days. And I want to be right in the middle of the outpouring. How about you? Wherein, verse 6, so He changes gears. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. How many know the devil doesn't want you to step into your victory? He's going to bring trials across your path. The trials are not from God. Oh, I keep hearing this all the time. I cringe when I hear it. You know, we run the coffee shop here, and we have the Christian bookstore, and people come in all the time testifying about the hardships they're going through, and they always want to attribute it to God. And I've got to be able to hear God, whether it's time to say, no, that's not true, or say, okay, be blessed, you know. Here's your highlighter, see you later. But they'll talk about how God put sickness on them, or God put them through this hardship, or, you know, God doesn't give you more than you can take. Well, the devil sure will. And if you don't know how to call upon God, you'll collapse. Amen. The devil can't give you more than God's Word has the ability to deliver you from. But understand, the devil takes people out all the time. And it's usually people that are attributing what they're going through to God, thinking, well, God won't give me more than I can take, as they're crashing and burning. Jesus said it this way. The thief, talking about Satan, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and abundance.
Right.
That's the actual Greek rendering, life and abundance. And so we know that Jesus he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was the exact representation of the heart of the Father. And if Jesus said the thief's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and I've come to give life, then you can understand that Father God's not going to do Satan's job. He's going to come. He sent Jesus to bring us into life. Satan's the one bringing the trials, not God. And then God brought us the Word through Jesus to let us know how we can have victory over the trials. Amen. Victory doesn't come just because you're a Christian. Victory comes because you're a Christian that knows how to stand on the Word of God. You're a Christian that knows how to activate the power of God through following spiritual laws spelled out in the Word of God. Amen. Victory in the kingdom of God comes on purpose. In most situations. Victory comes on purpose. Everybody repeat after me. Victory,
victory
comes on purpose. It's intentionally activated. Amen. You know, if our inheritance is reserved in heaven, there's a combination to open that door to bring your supply or your victory, whatever you need, your provision. And the combination always has to do with acting in faith. Amen. And if we don't act in faith, we don't open that vault that God's got reserved for us, and we don't see the provision come for the victory. And so many people want to take the kingdom of God and its laws, or not laws as far as the do's and don'ts, but spiritual laws, for granted, thinking, well, just because I'm a Christian and I go to the revivalist church, I'm going to have victory. No, victory is on purpose.
Yeah.
And tonight we're looking at one of the things you have to learn to do on purpose. And sometimes what you have to do on purpose isn't really what you feel like doing. You know, if I told Patty, I said, Patty, after we leave church, I'm taking you to Dairy Queen, and you will eat a mud pie blizzard. You're going to eat a mud pie blizzard, even though I have to cram it down your throat. You know what she's going to say? You don't cram it. Here I am. Blizzard, come to me now. She will be in full agreement for that. Patty, we're going to go to the, you know, to the chocolate shop, and you're going to eat some chocolate, you know, haystacks, some coconut haystacks. I don't want to twist her arm. We were in Pigeon Forge last week in Gatlinburg, and we hit every chocolate place in town. She was looking for the exact perfect chocolate haystack. The point is, I don't have to make her go after chocolate. Amen. She's always in the mood for chocolate. 31 years I've known her, I've never known her not in the mood for chocolate. But some of the things that's necessary to activate victory in the kingdom of God, you're not always in the mood for. But that's when you have to do it. And we're talking here about being in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials or tribulations. Or can we just plug in there oppression? Heaviness means oppression. That's like the weight of the devil sitting on your head and then saying it's God. Where the devil sits on your head and says it's never going to get any better. Where the enemy's just slapping you all around saying, you know, this is the best it's ever going to ever get. You need to quit. You need to quit confessing the word. You need to quit church. You're just going to fail anyway. That heaviness that comes. And when that comes, those are the times you need to activate the principles that bring you into victory. Amen. Because if you give way to the heaviness, you'll lose. If you start hanging your head, you're done for. And the devil doesn't have any mercy. Remember we just read God and His abundant mercy? Satan has no mercy. So if you start hanging your head down, he won't stop until you're finished. It says in verse 7 again, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now understand, if you're going to come out of the heaviness, it's going to take faith. I heard two. If you're going to come out of demonically inspired heaviness, did you know that Satan dwells in a realm higher than your natural man dwells? Now your spirit man dwells in a higher realm than Satan dwells. But Satan dwells in a higher realm, that soul realm, higher than your flesh operates in. And you have no power to overcome demonic attack out of your own strength. The only thing that empowers you to win over spiritual forces, over spiritual darkness, is a force more powerful than Him. And that's out of the third heaven realm, out of the spirit realm. That is only accessed by applying yourself to faith. By speaking the Word of God in faith and standing on the Word by faith. Amen. And as well, what we're going to talk about as we get into the message further tonight. You've got to be willing, when you're under attack, to fight back. See, this is where so many charismatic Christians miss it. They love to come to church and, oh, just sing off the wall and praise God, you know, for His goodness and for His love and mercy. They love to talk about how they're the righteousness of God, and they love to celebrate and high-five and talk about the glory. But the question arises, what do they do when they get home? And the pastor's not there to hold their hand. What do they do when the devil attacks when they're there by themselves? How do they respond to the destructive assaults of the enemy? Amen. Do they get into a pity party? Or do they say, no, I refuse to give way to this? Scripture says oppression makes a wise man mad. Now that means, if he's wise, he'll get angry at the oppression and do something about it. Or if he doesn't do anything about it, he'll move from wise to being crazy mad. You have a choice whether or not you will confront darkness and oppression and heaviness, or you'll give way to it and go mad. Amen. A wise man, though, I believe rises up and opposes those forces that rise up against him. You know, it's amazing how many people in the church, if somebody walked up and slapped them, they'd be ready to slap back. Now, I'm not talking about turning the other cheek and stuff tonight. I'm just talking about somebody comes up against you, you'll respond. I mean, ladies, if you're walking down the street and you're holding your purse and somebody comes up and tries to grab it, you will hold on to your purse. Some of you be grabbing stuff out of the purse. Some of you use that purse as a club and run them off. Are you following me? But very few women, when somebody grabs their purse, go, "Oh, you need that? Go ahead. Ooh, I don't. Oh, please don't hurt me." No, they're going. That no. That's my purse. And it's not about the money. It's about the makeup. Amen. Or whatever it is in the purse that they work so hard to put in that 300-pound bag they drag around. You're not just taking my purse. But then the devil comes along and tries to take people's joy. Oh, okay, you can have it. Yeah, you're right, devil. I see all the problems I have, and I see that just I have no way of getting out of them whatsoever by myself. And oh, woe is me. I just don't have the strength to fight. I tell you what, you can be on your last leg. You can work all day. You can be walking down the road and feel terrible, and somebody try to grab your purse, you're still going to rise up with some strength. Amen. And if somebody tries to take something from a guy, fur's going to fly. Amen. And so we've got to learn to correlate demonic attacks of oppression and heaviness to natural attacks against our life and respond in like fashion. That you refuse to give way to the heaviness, you're going to take the steps necessary to win. Now, look, I'm a Second Amendment type person. And if I was carrying a gun and somebody came up and tried to rob me and they pulled out a knife, they brought the wrong weapon to the fight. You follow me? I have heavier equipment than he has with his knife. Amen? And so I'm going to respond with force to match force. Amen. And we have to be willing to match force the enemy brings against us with all the force we have. And what is the most powerful weapon we have against darkness? The Word of God. Satan has no power against the Word of God. Amen. As well as the weapon we're going to talk about as we get into this further. Verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. And whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. In other words, you redeem your soul from the heaviness. It's not talking about you getting to heaven. It's talking about you saving your soul from the oppression. And he says, what you do is you rejoice your way through to victory. Now we know this when sickness tries to hit us. We know if sickness symptoms try to hit us, we've learned in this church and in the faith teaching long enough that when sickness tries to hit you, you confess the word and say, "No, by his stripes I was healed." You speak the word. And then you respond in a fashion that is opposite the symptoms. If a pain was to try to hit my arm or my shoulder, I'd say, "No, in Jesus' name, I'm healed." I'm going to start throwing punches with that shoulder just out in the air. I'm healed. I'm going to swing it. Well, that's the one that's hurt. No, I'm going to work it until healing hits his shoulder. You follow me? If, the devil hits your head, I was talking to a lady the other, Sunday night that came to church about migraines. And I got victory over migraines when they hit me one night and I had enough of it. And I went to my van and started hitting my head on the dash. Watch this, devil. I'm not afraid of your pain. Migraine, feel my eyes are going to pop out. And I'd hit my head. Pow! I'm healed in Jesus' name. Did it for about 20 or 30 minutes. Came out of the van totally healed of migraines. That's been 20 years ago. I'm healed. I used to be down with a migraine at least once or twice. Every week to 2 weeks, I'd be down with a migraine. I'd tell Pat, take the kids, get out of the house. Don't even come back until late. I'd take codeine or whatever, trying to knock myself out because the pain was so intense. The doctor said, we'll give you whatever you want. And I finally got to the point, I'd had enough of those migraines, and I hit my head on the dash, the opposite that the enemy was saying I could do. I did it until I got to victory. Well, you're crazy. I'm healed. Amen. That was a tormenting spirit that could not fight the word of faith matched with actions opposite what he was trying to get me to do. And when the enemy is bringing heaviness to you, the action of faith you must take, and understand every battle you go through spiritually is going to have heaviness attached to it. The enemy is going to try to bring oppression with the attack every single time. Amen. I mean, it's to me like whatever I have, if I make some kind of milkshake, it will have whipped cream on it. Smoothies, fraps, and ice cream always have whipped cream. I don't matter what it is, I'm putting whipped cream on it. No matter what Satan brings your way, not comparing myself to Satan, but whatever Satan brings your way, he's going to put oppression on it. And the last thing you feel like doing is praising God. But it's the very thing you need to do to get your victory. Because when you praise God and you speak the word with it, no, he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. Amen. No, I'm the healed. Whatever the attack is, you speak the word with regard to it. And then you praise God forcefully, even aggressively, until you see the victory. When do you get the victory? When the heaviness goes. When all of a sudden you feel like praising God. Because see, it's so easy when I'm preaching this to see it. It's so easy to see it when your mind's clear. But when you're under attack, it's not so easy. And the last thing you want to hear somebody say is you need to praise God. I'll praise you upside the head in about a minute. Tell me that again. You don't feel like praising the Lord. You don't feel like anybody telling you to praise the Lord. All you want to do is complain about the problem and the situation, and it's going to keep you right in the pit that you were in. And yet, praise is your key. Now see, I do a lot of counseling. And if I do a lot of counseling, this is not directed toward anybody in the church. But when you come to me and you need counseling because you're oppressed, tells me you haven't done this. Getting quiet in this church all of a sudden. It tells me you've not done this. Well, woe is me. You have not praised your way to victory. What you've been doing is you've been rehearsing the problem the whole time, grumbling about the conditions and the situations, and all you want is Pastor Jack or Pastor Rebecca to pat your head till you feel better versus work your own way to victory. Now, this is not a rebuke tonight. This is a teaching done in love. Amen. But it's your job to praise your way. Now, if you don't have the strength to, I'll coach you on it. But still, when you go home, you got to do it. It's not going to work if I could take you by the hand and say, now, praise God. Praise God. Here's how we do it. Praise the Lord. It's got to come out of your determination to get victory. It's like me saying, okay, let's go whoop the bully. I'll get behind you and I'll move your arms. No, there's got to be something rise up behind you, out of you, to put force behind the punch. And you got to be determined you're not going to get beat up by the devil anymore, and you're going to learn how to use a spiritual force of praise. And you're going to glorify Jesus until you laid the devil out. Amen. See, everybody, we're raising this microwave generation. Everybody wants a quick fix. Just give me a tablet that'll make me happy. Give me something in a bottle. Maybe I'll get some 5-hour energy. That'll help me get the victory. You can drink those things till you have a caffeine, fit. It's not going to do it. There's oppression on your life that will only be broken off by praise. Well, Pastor Jack, come and lay hands on me. I can drive that thing off. I can command that oppression to leave. But you've got to become a person that learns how to praise God to keep it off. And it's so much more valuable when you don't have to come up and you can just say, I'm free in Jesus' name. Yeah. Praise you, Jesus. See, I believe Aaron and Leon do a great job of leading us in praise. And by the end of a service, here's one thing, quit skipping praise. Quit skipping the praise part of church. It's going to help you. You can come in oppressed, and if you'll really allow your heart to enter into praise, the praise and worship, by the time it's over, you'll be on fire for God. The heaviness will be gone if you really do it. There's a corporate anointing here. But so many people have this fallen mindset. I used to have it myself when I was first saved. Well, I just want to go for the Word. I can get an extra 30 minutes sleep. I just sing those same songs every week. I don't need to go praise God. And you walk in with every devil on your head and you got to come to the end of service. Pastor Jack, will you pray for me again? I just can't seem to get rid of this oppression. You skip praise and worship again. Or you're so oppressed you didn't enter into it. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you. No. See, here's another key to praise. You can give God lip service with praise. All of these songs we sing, the praise songs, you can sing them out of memory and be thinking about how bad things are. You can do it. But if you really want to have effective praise as you're praising, how many know you can think faster than you sing? Most of us, I don't think it's just the geeks. Actually, when they're singing, their mind is thinking at the same time. Many times faster than the song is singing. Amen. Especially in the South, because we sing slower. Gives your time more time to operate, think about other things. And as you're praising the Lord, you should be thinking what you're praising Him about. Force yourself. Here's part of the warfare. Force yourself to get your mind off the problem. I'm going to think about the problem. I'm praising Jesus, and I'm praising Him for this. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for healing. Thank you for my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for filling me with the Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the roof over my head, the food I ate today, and the clothes I have on my back. Thank you, Lord God, for the air outside I breathe. The air inside is even better. Thank God for everything you can. And start getting into a praise, how can I say this, uprising. You start saying, I am going to glorify God, and I'm going to focus on the things of the kingdom versus the things of the fallen world, and I'm going to keep doing this till it becomes self-energizing and becomes a steamroller of spiritual power coming up from within me until it blows away every bit of heaviness off my life. Now, how many agree with what I'm telling you tonight that you can praise your way through? It's in the Word. I mean, we're going to look at it further before we're done tonight. It's in the Word. This is a spiritual weapon God gave us. However, every single one of us have failed the test at one time or another when it was time to apply this weapon. You know, if you took it on a written test, it'd be easy. Did you ever see the kids' blocks where you put the round block in the round hole and the square block in and the star block and the moon block and everything else? You don't go, I think this square block will fit in that round hole. And you're trying to force it in and trying to make it work and it's not working. You're getting angry. I know this square block ought to fit in the round hole. You don't do that. You go, wait a minute. Square block, square hole, round block, round hole. Amen. I'm about to graduate and go clear to the star block. You can do that block toy so easily. Amen. You wonder how come two-year-olds mess it up. It's just so easy. But then it comes time to applying spiritual blocks in your own life, spiritual building blocks. Amen. Under oppression, apply the praise block. Under financial attack, apply the seed block. Under healing attack, walk it out by faith. Declare the word. Amen. We know if I gave a test, if it was at least multiple choice, we'd all make 100. Let's try it. You're under financial attack. What do? Seed. Congratulations. You're under healing, assault. Assault against your healing. What do? Walk it out. You're under oppression. What do? Yeah, now do it next time. Next time, put that block, the praise block, in the oppression hole, or even fill that thing up, and go on. Versus, well, nothing's right. And then the devil always makes sure you focus on all the wrong things. Well, it's not just my finances are down. My healing's bad, too. I could drop dead any moment the way things are looking. Not to mention nobody likes me. Amen. Not to mention they won't let me fulfill my calling at the church. Not to mention, nanny, 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 and you're repeating everything the devil's telling in your ears. And God, you said, just praise me. Repeat back what the word says. And you can praise your way all the way through into the very joy of the Lord. And the very glory of the Lord. And leave with all that stuff. I'm talking about a blasted off of your soul, off of your mind. And walk around with victory. Walk around ready to attack the next challenge. Versus, walking around in total defeat all the time. Is anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Put the praise block in the oppression hole. I want you to get a hold of this tonight. Learn to praise through heaviness. It's the tool or the key God gave us to win. Last time we taught this, been 2 weeks ago, we taught about the safety deposit boxes. Remember the safety deposit boxes? That if you've ever had a safety deposit box at the bank, there's usually two keys. You had one and the bank had one. You couldn't just go in with your key and open the box. The bank had to, you had to sign your name, prove it was you, check your ID, and they'd go into your box and unlock that one box with their key. Then you could go in and unlock the rest of it with your key and open the box. We found that if you want victory, there's two keys. Speak the word and praise the Lord. Speak the word and praise to get through these types of assaults. And if you come, listen, nobody hesitate to come and see me if you need prayer. If you need counseling, I'm here to pray. I'm here for you. Don't think, well, I can't come and see Pastor Jack anymore because I know I haven't praised God. Listen, do what you can and come in and talk with me. That's fine. But do what you can. Amen. I mean, if we're really maturing in God, and we're supposed to be, we should be learning how to get victory over these things myself. Church was never supposed to be permanent romper room. The babies come in, no matter how old they are, they're still spiritual babies. They get nursery treatment. We'll change your diapers. Amen. There's others come in, they're learning spiritually to understand the Word of God. Hey, we'll get out the paper with the big lines and the chunks of wood in it. We'll teach you how to write the word, and do 2 + 2 mathematically. You're teaching the young ones come in how to work the Word of God. But the older ones, they ought to be telling the others how to change diapers and how to work the Word. The oldest one, you shouldn't have somebody who's been in a church for 2 years that still doesn't know how to put the praise block in the praise hole, how to speak the Word, how to fight off demonic little imp assaults. And I understand there's some big things you'll need help on. But the little ones, the day-to-day stuff that you're always oppressed because it's too much work to praise God. You know what? To not be willing to praise God is to say, I want to be on frozen pizzas microwave TV dinners. And 5-hour energy the rest of my life. You really don't want to spend time to really prepare the right meal for yourself to get victory. You just want instant victory. Well, Pastor, I just don't have time for oppression. Give me instant victory. Pray for me. You can have quick victory, but you've got to do it yourself. It shouldn't be that the pastor, you've been in church 5 years, 10 years, that he's spoon-feeding you. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself into that lesson. But Paul said to work out your salvation even in my absence. You've got to be able to take what you learn in church and go home and apply it. Amen. When we were kids, it only usually happened like the first few weeks of school. But after school started, as kids, we'd play school. You guys ever play school? Do you know after about 6 months of school, you never play that? I won't play that. No, I don't play no school. It was only the first few weeks when it was first starting. It was exciting, you know, new friends, new books, new papers, new, you know, you get the new school supplies. I remember the one that was so big when I was a kid. They don't have them anymore, I'm sure. But it was a Nifty notebook paper holder. It's called Nifty. What Nifty does, it was like a plastic, like a clipboard back. And the top was a magnetic thing you flip up. Your paper went in it, you flip it back down. It was held by a magnet. You remember Nifty's? And you'd flip the top up, and there was a little container that to put your pencils in. And every kid had to have a Nifty thing. That was the big thing. You know, Nifty, I don't know, probably cost 50 cents or something back then. Now you got to have $200 tennis shoes. Things are shifting. But we play school until we hated school so much we didn't want to have anything to do with the school. It took me about 3 days. And we've got to learn how to play church at home. That it never gets so boring we won't do it when we get home. That we'll apply ourselves, not playing, understand, but we're activating what we've learned, taking it home and doing it, living out of the kingdom of God. Because what doesn't work is come to church and learn spiritual principles and go home and live naturally. And then fight these battles and say, well, I get to church. When I get to church, I'll get some victory. You can get it at home. Amen. See, what I'm teaching you tonight, I do. I have to do. Last thing you want me to do is come in here all oppressed. But it's late for church again. I'm just going home. Have this verse come up and say, I'm just going home. They can come home. There'd be nobody behind the pulpit. They're going to be late. They're not coming. I ain't coming either. Just get me out of here. I can't do that. I have to praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Got every seat filled with Holy Ghost revivalists. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise through the victory. I have to do it at home. I have to do it in my office. Amen. When I feel a cloud coming on, I've got to praise my way through to the vision. You know who does this all the time? Not that they have to, but they've learned to do it in extreme fashion. Pastor Rebecca. I know she's praising her way to victory when I walk through the doors and my eardrums pop. I'm telling you what. Black Sabbath and Stryker had nothing on sound volumes to what Pastor Rebecca can put out. They used to talk about 120 decibels was the danger. You know, that was out the roof danger level. 120. I can tell she's in there praising God to victory when I'm still halfway across the parking lot and I see the windows gyrating. She's probably going, no, 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 no. I might have enhanced it a little bit. But she's praising away to her victory. See, the husbandman that laboreth, according to the word, must be first partaker of the fruit. Well, they're usually first partaker of the attack. Don't think because you're in ministry, you're exempt from the attack. Just the people go through the attacks. No, usually it's the ministers first. And so she's taken a wave, especially as a lead intercessor here. She's taken a wave of assault meant for the body is hitting her first. So you know where you find her? What time do you start intercession now? 7 o'clock? 8? But she's here in the mornings, turning up her praise music, praying for you guys, glorifying Jesus with everything she has. Because we recognize our lives depend on it. Our futures depend on it. We can't afford to carry heaviness. It says the husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Not the only one that goes through. We all have a responsibility to push through the oppression. And praise is the tool God gave us to do it with. Turn with me to Psalms 5. Psalms 5, have you got it? Let's go to verse number 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Now here it says, because of enemies that will come against you, your way needs to be made clear. Make your way straight means you know which way to go, right? The enemies come against you, show me the way I should go. Praise peg, oppression hole. Now here's what's going to happen in the future. You're going to experience oppression at some time in the future. It will happen. You've not graduated where you'll never know a demonic attack yet, but when the love hits us, we'll get above it. But oppression or heaviness is going to try to hit you, and you're going to be praying, oh God, what do I do? And He's going to say, praise me. And you're going to say, no, not that. I just don't feel like that. You better get feeling like it. God just made His way straight before you. He just showed you what you're supposed to do. You're going to hear praise. You probably hear my voice. Amen. This deep, authoritative voice that I have. You're going to hear it. You need to praise God. And it's your decision whether or not you'll do it. Amen. He says in verse 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. The devil lies. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher, a tomb. They flatter with their tongue. The devil's going to try to kill you with his words. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they've rebelled against thee. Now he's here talking, it sounds like, about natural men, but it applies to demonic forces as well. Cast them out. Amen. Let them fall into their own transgression. Let them wallow in their own symptoms. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Now listen. Here it says, those that trust God, praise Him. Shout for joy. It doesn't say, once the enemy is destroyed, praise Him. He's talking in terms of God, destroy him, but I've got to praise Him. Your praising is a spiritual force that neutralizes demonic attack. And sometimes you just got to shout for joy. I tell you what, when I have a heavy hit, an assault of heaviness, you'll hear me shouting for joy. Praise you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I might be up here in the front row. You hear me? Praise Jesus. Sometimes it's just praising Him because I'm just excited. Other times I'm praising my way through some stuff trying to rest on the church. Really would help if you guys would join in. In fact, don't even wait on me. Just start praising your way through the victory yourself. You know what? Our praise services shouldn't be just us following along and harmonizing totally with Aaron. Speaking word for word everything he says. I mean, that sounds good. And I'm sure God loves a heavenly, holy sound. But it should include, in the midst of it, praise you, Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, I magnify you, I praise you, I lift up your name right now in the house of God, I thank you for victory in every area of life. Now don't interrupt him singing, but there's openings you can start glorifying God in. Amen. He's leading us in praise, not leading us in singing. There's a difference. Most churches sing. God's looking for to raise up the house of David, the tabernacle of David, that prays. That come in and say, I'm going to move into the river of God deeper than I've ever been. I'm going to praise my way to victory, and I refuse heaviness to settle my life. And you, as pastor, I come here, I can get behind a pulpit, and I know I can know within a few minutes who's under oppression. Or whether oppression is trying to settle upon the church. Amen. Sometimes I said, get up, we're going to praise Him again. Haven't had to do it lately, but we've done that a few times. Because it's not that I'm trying to punish you. He's punishing us for not, you know, praising good enough. No, I'm trying to get us to praise where we get through to victory. Where the heaviness goes. Because I don't want to preach with heaviness. Amen. Preaching with open heavens is a whole lot more fun. I can tell you. Verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. God wants to place a shield around us. But it requires praise and shouting for joy to see it put in place. Amen. It's a shield of faith. And praising says, I've got faith to believe God for the victory. Praising says, I'm not staying here. I know God's got better, and I'm stepping into it right now. Shouting for joy says, devil, you're not holding me down. You know, when I shout for joy, I'm not always shouting to God. I'm often shouting to the devil. Watch this, devil. Praise Jesus, glory to God. You'll not stop that. The example I use quite often. But I need to because we've got to learn these things. It's people that experience insomnia or nightmares. A lot of times insomnia or nightmares are demonically inspired. People say, Pastor Jack, I've tried and tried. I just can't seem to get free. I've spoken the word. I just can't seem to get free of the nightmares or the insomnia. I say, well, then praise God. Because as long as you're awake and you praise God, the devil will let you go to sleep. Not put you to sleep. He'll let you go to sleep. He'll quit harassing you. And if he wakes you up with a nightmare, start praising God with all your heart. Right in the bed. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. I thank you. I glorify you, God. I thank all this stuff the devil tried to speak to me and all these things he tried to place fear on me about. I'm free from that fear and I thank you. None of it can happen. It was just a dream and I glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for angels watching over me. And you do that very long, the devil will quit giving you nightmares. Has anybody done this already? Raise your hand if you've done it and it worked. Now, if it didn't work, don't raise your hand. Several of you have done that. He quits. If he finds that when he wakes you up, however the form is, that you praise God, he won't do it. I really believe praise hurts the devil. I believe angels show up. Start just poking them around with their swords and spears. Amen? Take that. Are you still with me? Oh, Psalm 9. I probably don't have time to get very far into this, but let's start it and see what happens. Verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Now that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? I'm going to praise me some Jesus. But look at the next verse. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. He's talking about praising God when the enemy's attacking. But it says, how many know God inhabits the praises of his people? And he says, they shall fall back at your presence. When a group of people corporately praise the Lord, and through faith they usher in the presence of God, like us here tonight, when the presence of God moves in, if you will involve yourself in the heartfelt praise, it is impossible for oppression to stay on your life. It says in the Word, the enemy falls back at your presence. You make a determination. I'm going to be used in this praise. I'm just not going to be entertained. I'm not here for just giving lip service. I'm going to enter into the praise. I'm going to connect myself to the outpouring of the corporate anointing. It's impossible for heaviness to stay on your life. I shouldn't have said impossible. There are some demonic attacks that seem to stick through it, like the isolation devil. Others, some of them have, take some of their steps. But for the most part, heaviness has to flee. But it is possible to be in a Holy Ghost praise service, and because of religious mindsets, because of determination you want to stay in your pit, you don't want to praise God, it's easy for a person full of oppression to keep their oppression all the way through an anointed service. You come and say, well, nobody likes me. Nothing works. Nothing's working for me. I don't feel like praising God. They can praise God. I'll just sit here, you know, and think about my problems. And guess what? When it's all done, everybody else has gotten free. They're full of joy and peace and strength. You're sitting in your same pit. Why? Because you didn't actively activate the spiritual force of praise. Remember, victory is intentional. It's not just by hanging around. You know, there was a, when I was in the drug world, when you're early on with the druggies, they had all kinds of free samples for you. I mean, when I first got involved in that, when I finally decided I was going to move from alcohol to drugs, I had people offering me marijuana pills. What do you need? Oh, yeah, here, try this one. It was exciting for them to, you know, get the new kid looped. Here, take all this. But you know what? And you take it. Oh, yeah, let's try this one. Woo! Until you'd been in it a while, then the freeloading stopped. No. I'm not giving you nothing else. Well, no, I'm not talking about pushers. I'm talking about friends. Time you bought your own bag. Time you bought your own tabs. Time you quit freeloading, get your own. Amen. In fact, you might consider paying some of us back what you've been freeloading from us. There came a time, even in that fallen realm, you had to go work your own self to get the high. I'm not glorifying that whatsoever. I'm telling you how it worked. Well, there comes a time in the church you quit trying to freeload off of everybody's anointing. They're bringing it through the praise of God, and God says, no, it's time for you to do it yourself. You praise me. Yeah. You'll hear God say it. You praise me. Yeah. I never hear it. That's because you don't want to hear it. You shut off the voice of God. You're probably not hearing anything. Because if you don't hear God saying, praise me, you've quenched the spirit in your life. Is this okay with you guys tonight? If you can't hear God say, praise me, or so, either one, you've done some spirit quenching. If you've been in this very long, and you're at the house fighting a little battle, that little voice is saying, praise him. Praise Jesus. And you're going, nope, 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 don't feel like that. Let me tell you what other problems I have. Well, I ought to praise you. Look at all these things I'm facing. I don't feel like praising Jesus. Then keep your devils. And chances are you may come to church and try to freeload off somebody else's victory again. And God say, no, you've got to do this yourself. Kenneth Hagin talks about when his son was in his teens. His son came to him wanting healing. And Kenneth Hagin always been able to lay hands on his children and see them healed. And I don't know how many kids he had. It was just the one, or he had several? Two? Well, anyway, it was Kenneth Jr., I believe it was, he laid hands on. And he felt the power going and bounce right back. He said, Father, what just happened there? Why didn't he get healed? Why did I feel the anointing bounce back? He says, because he knows what to do himself and he's not doing it. And there comes a time he's got to apply himself to the things of the kingdom. So he told him, his God says, you know what to do to use your faith to get the victory. Now go do it. He did. Got healed. There comes a time we've got to learn how to praise God through to our victory. And don't be a freeloading, anointing freeloader. I'd hate to think I got to heaven and God said, you sucked up more anointing than you ever ushered in. That would be the five foolish virgins. Remember that? That said, give us of your oil. It finally came a point. I'm sure they barred it before. Finally, the five wise says, no. Go get your own. Amen. And while they were going, the bridegroom came. Learn to access victory. Now, again, I'm not telling you don't come to me for prayer. I'm telling in the process, learn to get your own. Learn to be a faithful, on time to praise God Christian. If you're late, come anyway. You follow me? Better to be late than not to come. But get in on all the praise you can. And watch your pressure not be able to stick to you. It'll make you a Teflon Holy Ghost Christian. Devil's heaviness can't stick to you. Well, look, we're out of time for tonight. But I just want you to know, there's not an attack the enemy can bring that should ever bring us down. It will try to, but God's given us the tools to see victory. Just activate the tools. I have tools. Now, so that's closing, right? You know what that means, right? Nothing. I have tools. I have tools. I've got a tool for almost every job out there. I got tools in the cars, tools in my office, tools in the garage at home. I got plumbing tools, carpentry tools, mechanics tools. I've got tile cutting tools, whatever, concrete tool. I got tools. Just collected them over the years. Whatever job I got to do, I'd go get the tools for it. Found I could still save money if I did it myself, even if I had to buy the tools. Probably didn't do as good a job, but I learned. And I've learned that if you're on a certain job, get the tool that matches it. You know, if I need to cut some boards, I don't use my blowtorch. Amen. If, you know, I need to work on the car, I'm not using a skill saw. Although I probably have in the past in a few special applications. I'm going to use a tool that matches the challenge. And God's given us a whole tool set. The Word, acting by faith, praising God, the power of seed, all to overcome every situation that arises. Learn to become a master craftsman in the kingdom of God. That you know what tool to use and you use it with precision. And you'll come out on top. God cannot bless lazy Christians. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you seal in our hearts, our minds, our understanding. You cause us to rise up and fulfill your highest of high callings. I thank you for this. I give you praise at the opportunity to walk as overcomers. And I thank you, Father, this message, I believe it settles down inside of each one here, and they've now given you access to speak praise into their life, Lord God, at the appropriate times, and they rise up and they do it. And I thank you through this church steps into a whole other level of corporate anointing manifestation and a whole other opportunity to step into higher levels of the glory. Thank you for victory in each one's life. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Listen, if you need special prayer for anything,